5 days ago, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a 9-0 unanimous decision, and in so doing, they expanded the rights of federal workers to sue the federal government. Let's go through the details of the case together. To start with, back in the year 2013, back when Barack Obama was still in office, the Pentagon experienced some cutbacks in terms of their funding, which then subsequently led them to furlough some of their employees. Among the employees was a man named Stuart Harrow. Mr. Harrow was an employee with the Department of Defense, and during this period of time, he was furloughed for a total of 6 days, which on the one hand seems almost inconsequential, except for the fact that it set off an 11-year-long chain reaction. Because you see, Mr. Harrow did not take the situation lying down. Instead, he attempted to get an exemption from the furlough on the grounds of financial hardship. Quote, Stuart Harrow was a long-term defense employee when he was furloughed from work for 6 days in 2013. He objected and timely took his case, as was his right, to the Merit Systems Protection Board, or the MSPB. This is the agency responsible for deciding federal employment disputes, such as removals, suspensions, demotions, and furloughs. And so essentially, back in 2013, Mr. Harrow acted as his own attorney, and he challenged the Pentagon's employment decision before the relevant administrative judge. However, this case moved at the speed of government, meaning that 3 years later, in 2016, the judge ruled against Mr. Harrow and he upheld the 6-day furlough. Quote, the Merit Systems Protection Board judge, calling the furlough regrettable but not improper, upheld Mr. Harrow's 6-day furlough. Now, you might assume that after 3 long years, Mr. Harrow would just move on with his life, but you would be wrong. Instead, Mr. Harrow, he went ahead, and he exercised his right to appeal this initial decision to the full board for a review. However, this review took even longer. Quote, while the appeal was pending, on January 8, 2017, the board lost its quorum of members, so it could neither conduct business nor resolve appeals. The board didn't regain a quorum until May 11th of 2022, when it rejected the appeal and affirmed the judge's ruling. Meaning that as a practical matter, 9 full years after the initial 6-day furlough, the appeals board ruled against Mr. Harrow, saying that once again, despite the furlough being regrettable, it was not improper. However, this is where the case took a bit of a twist, because during this 5-year-long period when the board did not have a quorum to conduct official business, Mr. Harrow was actually forced to change his official email address, and therefore he did not receive the board's final decision in a timely manner. Quote, in the intervening 5-year period, the Department of Defense changed email servers and Mr. Harrow failed to notify the board of his new email address. Because the board served its final decision in the case on him solely by email, he did not learn about the unfavorable ruling until August 30th of 2022, 111 days after the decision was made. And the reason that this is relevant is due to what happened next. Mr. Harrow, as you likely well aware, is not the type to give up so easily, and so he attempted to appeal this board decision once again to the U.S. Federal Circuit. For your reference, in cases like these, federal employees are allowed to appeal board decisions to the Federal Circuit, as long as they file their appeals within 60 days of the board's final decision. And so right there is obviously where the problem came, because due to this change in email addresses, Mr. Harrow was not informed of the board's final decision until 111 days after it was made, meaning that he missed the deadline for filing the appeal. But again, as it's become evident, Mr. Harrow is not the type to give up the chance of trying to claw back his 6 days' worth of pay, and therefore, he appealed this rejection all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, arguing that the deadline should actually be able to account for mitigating circumstances, like what happened to him. The key question that Mr. Harrow put forth before the U.S. Supreme Court is whether this particular deadline for these types of appeals is jurisdictional or non-jurisdictional. Quote, the legal issue in the case was whether a filing deadline was jurisdictional, in legal parlance. When a legal rule is deemed jurisdictional, that status can significantly limit litigants' options in a case. Legal rules are categorized as either jurisdictional or non-jurisdictional, according to the Stanford Law Review. If a rule is deemed jurisdictional, courts will interpret and apply it rigidly, literally, and mercilessly. And so in plain English, the question he was attempting to put before the U.S. Supreme Court is whether this particular deadline rule was rigid and set in stone, or whether it was flexible and allowed for mitigating circumstances to extend it. The U.S. Supreme Court, they wound up taking up the case, and after another 2 years, they issued a ruling in favor of Mr. Harrow. Specifically, in a 9-0 unanimous decision, the U.S. Supreme Court found that the 60-day filing deadline was not jurisdictional. Writing for the majority of the court, Justice Alina Kagan wrote the following, quote, Section 7703 provides that a federal employee who experiences an adverse personnel action is entitled to complain to the board and, if it finds against them, to appeal that determination to the federal circuit within 60 days. The question presented is whether that 60-day limit is jurisdictional and therefore precludes equitable exceptions. We hold that the limit, like most filing deadlines, is not jurisdictional. The procedural requirements laid down by Congress are rarely as strict as they seem. Most of those rules read as categorical demands, e.g., a person shall file in this court, shall file by that time, shall include the following documents. But Congress legislates against the backdrop of judicial doctrines creating exceptions and typically expects those doctrines to apply. This means that a court will not enforce a procedural rule against a non-compliant litigant if his opponent has forfeited or waived an exemption, and a court may be able to excuse the litigant's failure to comply on equitable grounds. This flexibility does not apply when a rule is jurisdictional, so a court has to enforce the rule even if no party has cited it and even if equitable considerations would support excusing its violation. Mindful of those repercussions, this court will treat a procedural requirement as jurisdictional only if Congress clearly states that it is. She continued by writing that there was no such language in the time limitation of Section 7703 to indicate that the rule was jurisdictional, and then she added the following, quote, We have almost never treated the sort of routine rules swept up in the government's pursuant to reading as absolute bars to judicial action, neither subject to forfeiture nor excusable for equitable reasons. And as such, the U.S. Supreme Court vacated the judgment of dismissal from the Federal Circuit, and they send the entire case back down for further proceedings. Meaning, as a practical matter, that after 11 full years, Mr. Harrow will now be able to appeal the board's decision to the Federal Circuit. Now, whether or not the Federal Circuit winds up actually giving him his back pay, that's another matter, but he will have his day in court. And then more broadly for everyone else, this legal process cleared up a legal ambiguity. Moving forward, federal employees will now be able to challenge the board's decision after the 60-day window of time if they had a sufficient reason for being late to respond. But perhaps the biggest irony of it all is that realistically, by withholding about $3,000 in back pay and interest for Mr. Harrow, the government wound up spending probably hundreds of thousands of dollars in accumulated legal expenses fighting this case for the past 11 years. And of course, it's worth mentioning that the government doesn't really have any of its own money. It's you and me, the American taxpayers, who wind up footing the bill for these brilliant situations. And so that's how the case played itself out and where it currently stands. If you'd like to read the entirety of the U.S. Supreme Court decision, I'll throw a link to the PDF version of it. You'll be able to find it down in the description box below. And then until next time, I'm your host, Roman from the Epoch Times. Stay informed, and most importantly, stay free.